If God is not, wrote noted preacher George Buttrick, and the life of man poor, solitary, nasty, brutish, and short, prayer is the veriest self-deceit. If God is, yet is known only as vague rumor and dark coercion, prayer is whimpering folly. It were nobler to die. But if God is in some deep and eternal sense like Jesus, friendship with him is our first concern, worthiest art, best resource, and sublimest joy. What is prayer? Stripped down to its basic form, it is conversation between us and our God, between the created and the Creator. Communication, speaking with the tongue and or the heart, and listening with the whole self. Prayer is the means of connection, the chief means, the way the children connect to the Father and the Father connects to the children. It is at one and the same time so very simple and so very complex. When communication one to another is commonplace and easy, emails and cell phones and text messages and tweets, it may seem strange that communication with God, our very source, can seem so difficult, so strange and foreign and uncomfortable. Throughout the Gospels, we have numerous examples of Jesus praying, pulling away from the crowds to meet in private with his Father, at times pouring out his own heart, praying for himself and for his disciples and for all of creation. We also have numerous examples of Jesus teaching about prayer, including, but certainly not limited to, today's gospel lesson from Luke. What it means, how to do it, and why it is so important. Clearly, prayer is meant to be a significant part of the life of faith, and as such, we do well to attend to it for a while this morning. A few words, then, about how to pray. First, prayer needs to be true and from the heart. No pretense, no empty words. One of the girls in the youth group I grew up in, Katie, decided at one point that she would no longer join the congregation in praying the Lord's Prayer as part of worship. She claimed it had lost meaning because people simply recited it like robots each week. Sunday after Sunday, same rhythm and same monotone voices. Now, in part, I know she was right. Almost certainly there were and are people in that church and people in this church, people in every church, for whom the Lord's Prayer has ceased to hold any meaning. The words come out of their mouths, but their hearts aren't really in it. Still, for others, I can imagine that it was perhaps the most important part of that worship service, the one prayer that they had uttered since childhood, the one that was passed down generation to generation, a way not only to connect to God, but also to those who had gone on before. The very words that had carried them through times when their own words simply would not suffice. And so ultimately, I do think Katie was missing the point. For it wasn't the prayer that had lost the meaning. It was that for some, their hearts weren't really in it. They were speaking the words, but they were not praying them, speaking them with their mouths, but not with their hearts. Because prayer needs to be true, and it needs to come from the heart. Second, prayer needs to be honest. A seminary intern was leading the congregation in the pastoral prayer as part of worship one Sunday morning. Now, this particular congregation had the tradition of praying for specific needs by name, and so the intern had been asked to pray for a member whose name he had difficulty pronouncing. It was an Eastern European name that is pronounced nothing like it is spelled. Now, the woman who had been a member of the congregation for quite some time, so most members of the church knew how to say her name. But the intern was new, and so he struggled mightily. Undaunted, he began to pray and repeatedly stumbled over the woman's name. No two pronunciations sounded the same, and the intern was growing anxious and frustrated. Stopping and restarting his prayer numerous times, butchering the name all over again, it was like that prayer was never going to end. Finally, in the middle of the prayer, he let out an exasperated sigh that the whole congregation was relieved to hear, since it meant that he would finally stop. But continuing with the prayer, he looked up to the heavens and said, "Oh God, you know what the woman's name is." It was an honest prayer. For our God knows all, knows each one of us more thoroughly than we even know ourselves. There is no hiding anything from God. So be honest in your prayers, at all times and in all ways, because God can handle it. The joy, the pain, the laughter, and even the anger. For nothing you say can surprise God. So go ahead and say it, because our prayer needs to be honest. Third, prayer needs to be continuous. Brother Lawrence, a French monk from the 17th century, felt intimately close to God as he humbly scrubbed pots and pans in the monastery kitchen. Despite his lowly position, his wisdom and dedication to his prayer life especially drew many to him who were seeking advice on how to pray. The advice that he often shared in person and through letters written to those who came seeking his wisdom was eventually compiled into a book entitled Practicing the Presence of God, which has become a devotional classic. In the book, Brother Lawrence writes, "It is a great delusion to think our time of prayer ought to differ from other times. We are as strictly obliged to cleave to God by action in the time of action as by prayer in the season of prayer." Brother Lawrence fully embraced Paul's admonition to the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing, to in effect live life as part of one long, unending prayer. A phone call with God from which we never really hang up, where amen is a pause, not a conclusion. Fourth and finally, prayer needs to be persistent. And then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, the judge refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" In his book Craddock Stories, Fred Craddock tells of a meeting a woman at the hospital who was banging on the door to the chapel with both fists, crying, "Let me in, let me in." Apparently, in the past, the chapel had been trashed by kids that were running around the hospital, so it was locked whenever it was not in use. But Craddock went and got a key, and he let the woman in. He writes, "She had the look of desperation. She had the voice of desperation. I can't tell you if she was screaming or crying or moaning or what it was, but it was desperation. She was saying, 'I know he's going to die. I know he's going to die.' 'Who?' Craddock asked. 'My husband. What's the matter? He had a heart attack.' Reverend Craddock told her who he was and then asked, 'Can I pray with you?' And she said, 'Please.' And so he started to pray for her and for her husband, and she interrupted him. But she didn't just interrupt him, she took over. She started praying herself and stopped his prayer entirely. He thought maybe he was too quiet or too slow or saying the wrong thing or something. Anyway, his prayer wasn't getting there, and she knew it. So she said, "Lord, this is not the time to take my husband. You know better than I do. He's not ready. Never prays, never goes to church or anything. He's not ready. Not a good time to take him. Don't take him now. And what about me? If I have to raise these kids, what am I going to do? I don't have any skills, can't find any work. I quit school to marry him. If I'd known you were going to take him, I'd have stayed in school." And she was really talking to God. "And what about the kids? They don't listen to me now with him around. If he's gone, they'll be wild as bucks. What about the kids? This is not the time to take my husband." She was desperate. She had God by the lapels, both hands, and was screaming in God's face, "I don't think you're listening." After the prayer with the woman at the hospital, Craddock saw her again the next day. She was in the hallway outside intensive care. Before he could ask, she said to him, "He's better." She smiled and said, "I'm sorry about that crazy woman yesterday." He said, "Well, you weren't crazy." She said, "I guess the Lord heard one of us." Craddock said, "He heard you." In his book, Wishful Thinking, Frederick Buechner writes, "According to Jesus, by far the most important thing about praying is to keep at it." The images he uses to explain this are rather comic, as though he thought it was rather comic to have to explain it at all. He says God is like a friend you go to borrow bread from at night. The friend tells you, in effect, to drop dead, but you go on knocking until he finally gives you what you want so that he can go back to bed again. Or God is like a crooked judge who refuses to hear the case of a certain poor widow, presumably because he knows there's nothing much in it for him. But she keeps hounding him until he finally hears her case, just to get her out of his hair. Be importunate, Jesus says. Not, one assumes, because you have to beat a path to God's door before he'll open it, but because until you beat the path, maybe there's no way of getting to your door. But what about when the boy isn't healed? When listened to or not listened to, the prayer goes unanswered. Well, just keep praying, Jesus says. Remember that sleepy friend or that crooked judge. For even if the boy dies, keep beating the path to God's door, because the one thing you can be sure of is that down the path you beat, with even the most half-cocked and halting prayer, that God you call upon will finally come. And even if he doesn't bring the answer you want, he will bring himself. And maybe at the secret heart of all of our prayers, that is what we are really praying for God to bring God's self. And so our prayers must be persistent. Prayer. It is communion with God, meant to be true and honest and continuous and persistent. How do we pray? There is no one way, but following these principles certainly is a fine start. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.